Reading from the Art of Chanting about Nama Praj. This is the eighth offense against the holy name. To equate the holy name with punya karma. Ordinary pious activities, punya karma, like charity, tirtha snans, yagyas, prata, tapa, distributing food, building schools, award limited results within a temporary world. So this eighth offense is to generally say to consider the chanting of the holy name to be one of the ritualistic activities which are mentioned in the Karma Kanda section of the Vedas, or fruit of activities. So that means that we're thinking that chanting the holy name of Krishna is like a pious activity. In Sanskrit it's called punya karma. And then, so then first it's listed here, what are punya karmas, what are pious activities? So giving charity to anyone, poor person or whatever, this is punya karma. And tirtha snans, taking bath in a holy place, performing yagyas, brata tapa, distributing food, building schools, these are all good things, they're recommended for grihasthas to do. Because they'll get rewarded in the next life. When we do good activities, then we're rewarded in the next life with healthy body, happiness of mind, peace of mind, intelligence, and many good things come our way. And anything when we do sin or bad activities in this life, that's called papa karma. The next life we suffer the reaction from that. Always fearful, always worried. So many psychic sufferings people carry with them due to their bad activities in previous life. Many people are always worried. I'm worried about this, I'm worried about that. They may be very intelligent, maybe wealthy. They have wealth and bodily beauty and good education and intelligence. But they're suffering psychically because of their previous life sins. So one form of psychic suffering is that they're worried. Oh, what about this? What about that? What about this? What about that? There's so much worry. Or fears. Some people are fears and phobias. Well, I'm afraid of, well, that lizard may fall off the roof and land on me. It happened once. Or I'm afraid of this or that. And so many basically baseless fears that people have. So this is all these types of sufferings. Emotional suffering. No one likes me. I'm all by myself. I don't have any friends. No one cares for me. This is all emotional sufferings. So one way or the other, we become pinched by our previous punyas and papas, to make an alliteration, PPP. We become pinched by our previous punyas and papas, pops. Papa is sin and punya is piety, good and bad activities. They pinch us, they cause misery or enjoyment. But Krishna's name is nothing like that. So no material activity can compare with chanting the transcendental names of God, which gives the highest spiritual perfection of eternal blissful life in Golok. Chanting the divine name is both the sadhya, which means the goal or supreme goal, and the sadhan, the process to attain perfection. The holy name is the word incarnation, shabda avatar. Interesting term scriptures use. Shabda means sound and avatar means descent. We usually say incarnation, but technically the word is not correct. Most professors, when they translate the word avatar, they say descent. Because it means that aroha means to rise, and avatar means to descend. Aroha panta and avaroha panta and aroha panta. So avaroha panta is descending path, and aroha panta is ascending. So they say it's a descent. The divine descents of the Lord. So this is the Shabdavatar, the divine descent. The Lord descends in this world and appears in this world in the form of sound in all ages, but especially the sound is most mercifully available and presented in the age of Kali. In fact, the sound in the age of Kali, the Shabdavatar, this descent is the best access to transcendence. Yajna and puja and tapa and yoga, which were utilized in previous ages to transcend the world and to connect with God, are basically imperfect and useless in Kali Yuga. Anyata, there's no other way. Harinam, 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 Eva Kevalam, Kalo, Nasteva, 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 Angatir, Anyata. There's no other way to get to the Gati. Gati means the perfection, the sadhya, the goal, the culmination, the final point, the perfection. There's no other way to attain life's perfection in this age but chanting Krishna's name. Yajna won't work. Puja won't work. Yoga won't work. Meditation won't work. You can try, but you waste your time. Only you waste your time. You may get a good spine, a good backbone, but that's about it. But that backbone won't take you back home. The backbone won't take you back home. But if you do yoga, I mean bhakti yoga, then that's love. You'll unite with Krishna forever in divine service. The eighth offense to the holy name is considered a holy name to be on the level of materially auspicious acts listed above. Western people don't have too much, which most all of you are, except this one lady. Of course, I'm also officially Indian citizen, but doesn't look like it by body. But Western people in general don't have much problem so much with this offense because we don't even know what punya karmas are or papa karmas, and we don't know about fruitive activities, and we don't know about karma kanda. We don't know anything about varnashram dharma, and we don't know anything about the Vedas. So how can we compare the holy name to any of this? Because you can't compare something to something you don't know. You remind me, you're like something I don't know. You remind me of something I don't know. I mean, we have no knowledge or familiarity or awareness of any of this karma kandiya. So therefore, it's usually Western people don't so much get involved with this offense. So that's a good fortune for us that now we only have 9 others to worry about. But this one is very problematic for Indian people because they grow up in this Indian culture which has some faint semblance of the Vedic culture, and these concepts are there. So I think, oh, that they chant this mantra, Shiv mantra, this mantra, Maha mantra, it's all punya, it's all. So it's a problem for them, a big problem often. So therefore, the Padma Puran is explaining that for the members of the. Especially Padma Puran, of course, is written at a time when everybody was observing Varnashram Dharma. So everyone was hung up with these various types of homas and pujas and yagyas and devata pujas. So to establish the supremacy and the uniqueness of God's holy name, these 10 offenses are presented in Padma Puran to alert people to be careful that don't lump Krishna's name in with everything material or mundane, otherwise you won't get the effect of chanting because you'll be an aparadi. So how to rectify this offense? So this recommendation is especially for our Indian brothers and sisters. One can mitigate this offense born of ignorance. It's ignorance to think that this is all, basically everything is caused by ignorance. One can mitigate this offense born of ignorance by humbly approaching the Vaishnavas to receive Sambandha Gyan. In other words, what is this holy name? Why is it different? Why is it Shabda? Why is it Shabda Brahman? Why is it non-different from Krishna? How is it Purna Mukto? How is it Purna Shuddho? How is it Nitya Mukto? How is it Chintamani? So this is the... we have to remove our doubts by receiving knowledge. Established in knowledge of Nam Tattva, one should avoid this mistake and chant properly. In the following prayer, Haridas Thakur reveals the mood of submission one needs to surmount this offense. This is from Harinam Chintamani, which is a type of samadhi bhashya. Like Vedavyas, he entered a state of deep samadhi in his meditation, and in samadhi he compiled the Bhagavat Puran. So the acharyas, commentators, they describe that Bhagavatam is Bhashya means language or words or speech. We say Govinda Bhashya. Govinda Bhashya is a commentary of Govindaji that was revealed through the mind and hand and heart of Baladeva Dibhushan. Because the inspiration and all the guidance and the actual book itself was revelatory, and the source was Govindaji, Bhagavan himself, and it happened in Govinda Dham. The whole thing happened in Gupta Vrindavan. Gupta Vrindavan is actually happened in what the place they called Kanak Vrindavan. I know it happened in Galta. But Galta is all part of Gupta Vrindavan, which is Jaipur. So therefore, Baladeva Dibhushan said that this is Govinda Bhashya. This is written by Govinda, and this is the commentary, Gaudiya Vaishnava commentary on the Vedanta Sutra. So that's Bhashya, commentary language. So this is Samadhi Bhashya, the Bhagavatam. So Bhaktivinoda Thakura went in his own Samadhi, and in his Samadhi was Gaur Lila Samadhi. So in his Samadhi of absorbing himself in his Kaishur Brahman Roop, as Anitya Kishore Brahman of Navadvip, in his Siddhadeya, or his Vastu Siddhi, then Bhaktivinoda Thakur saw the divine pastimes of Lord Gauranga, and he saw Haridas Thakur, and he heard Haridas Thakur speaking about the glories of the holy name, which he did. And then he, in that samadhi of what he experienced, then he came out and he wrote a book called Harinam Chintamani. Maybe you've seen the book, Harinam Chintamani. So this is Samadhi Bhashya of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Because Bhaktivinoda Thakur didn't live 500 years ago. He lived 150 years ago. And Haridas Thakur was preaching the glories of the holy name 500 years ago. So how is he able to write a book? Haridas said this, and Haridas said that, and Haridas said this, and Haridas said that. So is it a novel? Is it imagination? Is it a fabrication? Is it something that Bhaktivinoda dreamed up like a novel? When you write a novel, a contemporary novel, you assign names to characters, and then you create a story and a plot. So-and-so said, and so-and-so said. So he wrote a novel, like Jivadharma is a novel. Jivadharma is a novel, but there's characters there. And so then, but the story, the tattva that they're talking about is perfect. But whether those people lived or not, that's, Bhaktivinoda is not concerned with that. He's concerned with the tattva siddhanta. But the Harinam Chintamani is not considered a novel. It's considered, this has really happened. And Haridas Thakur really taught these things. Otherwise, why does he say Haridas Thakur, Namacharya, is speaking? So what did Haridas Thakur say? How to surmount the eighth offense, the holy name? He said this. My dear Lord Chaitanya, my consciousness is thoroughly mundane. Though I mouth the holy names, I am too unfortunate to experience their transcendental touchstone qualities. In other words, a touchstone, it was called Sparshamani. Sometimes we confuse the Chintamani with the Sparshamani, but they're two different objects. The Sparshamani, Sparsha means touch and money means jewel. So this touchstone, sometimes called philosopher's stone, they were available, at least in India, 500 years ago. And it was some type of stone, like this is called stone, it was also a stone. And you would touch, if you touch that stone to iron, that iron, loha, would turn to sona, would turn to gold. And that's it. That's all a touchstone would do. It wouldn't do more than that. It's not that you could touch the touchstone on your head and you would turn to gold. The only thing that's going to make you turn to gold is if you touch Gauranga's feet to your head. Then you'll get a golden body to serve Lord Gauranga and Nitya Navadvip. So you can only touch your Lord Gauranga's feet on your head if you surrender to Lord Nityananda. And you can only get the mercy of Lord Nityananda if you control your senses, engage them fully in Krishna service. Then you can turn into gold. right? Because all the spiritual bodies are, most of them are, not all, most of them are golden color. Transcendental gold. Old is gold. There's nothing older than the spiritual body. The spiritual bodies have been lying in the spiritual world eternally. They're eternal. And they're waiting for us to give up this temporary body and assume our eternal body, and receive our eternal body. So therefore he's saying that, Haridas is saying, oh, Lord Chaitanya, look at me. I'm chanting this holy name, and this holy name is touching my mouth and touching my ears. But there's no transformation. I'm still iron. The touchstone, the sparshamani is touching me, but I'm still iron. I'm still black. Iron has the quality of being black and cold and heavy and worthless. It's not a valuable metal. This is the predominant metal of the age of Kali, the iron age. It is not the golden age, nor the silver age, nor the copper age. And in this age, all these metals are very valuable, very costly. But in Satyuga, people would eat on a golden plate, the kshatriyas, and chuck it. Now we eat on, now we're so opulent in this age, we eat on a paper plate, and we chuck the paper plate. Isn't it? We're very wealthy. We eat on a piece of wood. We have so much money in the age of Kali that we can eat our lunch on a piece of wood. Paper is wood. And when we're done, we chuck it. So in the same way, in Satyuga, they eat on a golden plate, golden thali, 250-gram thali, chuck it, honey bowl. So now you want to buy a few grams of gold, you have to sacrifice everything in your pocket. So this is Iron Age, Black Age. So you say, look, I'm chanting this sparshamani, this touchstone name, but nothing's happening. I'm mouthing the words, but my heart is still black. Kam, krodh, lobh, moha, matsarya. All these black, dirty, heavy, cold-like qualities are within me and around me and throughout me. My mind is very heavy. These things are heavy, actually. Iron is very heavy. You try to pick up iron, it's very concentrated, very heavy. So when one is carrying these qualities in his heart, he's very heavy. He's not light. Like we have a phrase in English called light-hearted. What does it mean, light-hearted? Light-hearted means pure-hearted. You see, when the heart becomes pure, one becomes light-hearted. As Prabhupada often said, he said, my body is old, but I have the spirit of a young man, a young boy. I guess that spirit, the spirit he's talking about is pure, prem atma. His atma was, he's not a duratma, he's a prem atma. He's a premika, or premi, a radha premi. So therefore he's very light, he's very funny, of course very dear also. But also Prabhupada is very funny, very light. And people often say like that. If you read Lilamrita, you'll see many of the disciples would say, Prabhupada was so childlike. That was what Sally Agarwal observed in Butler, Pennsylvania. And she was what they call a non-veg karmi of the material world, but somehow she had the great fortune of hosting the Nityananda Shakti for the age of Kali. Jagat Guru for the entire universe was her house guest in Butler, Pennsylvania for a few months. So she can't be too ordinary. She maybe had some minor coverings of some Kali Yuga qualities of eating meat and watching TV and drinking or whatever. But she was a very fortunate person, and she knew who to glorify. So she would always, whenever she talked about Prabhupada, she would spontaneously glorify the pure devotee with the choicest words in her command. When Swamiji would smile, it was oceanic. These are choice words in the English. These are infinitude words, oceanic. It means, it's beautiful poetry actually. So Saraswati was pleased by her bhav. Her bhav, her seva bhav was very pleasing to Saraswati. So Saraswati empowered her to speak wonderfully to glorify Swamiji. her house guest who slept on the couch and washed his clothes in the bathroom and hung his dhoti in the over the shower curtain, the shower rod of the shower curtain, and stored his milk in the refrigerator next to the meat and beer and whiskey. That was her house guest. He was her house guest. You can read all this in Lilamrita. Because they interviewed Sally Agarwal. There's even films of her. And then she went on to say, he was so childlike. Childlike? What is this child? This 19... What is it? 65. This is a 70-year-old child. 70-year-old man. Because when you get older, you get stiff. When you get old, you get stiff. So stiff, the stiffer you are, the closer you are to death. And then when you die, what do they say? You are a stiff. Maybe you don't know English very much, at least slang it, probably not at all. But in America, they say, oh, he's a stiff. rigor mortis, if you want to be technical about it. It's called rigor mortis. Rigor mortis. The mortal frame, the body becomes rigid. Rigid comes from the Latin word rigor. Rigid, firm, stiff, hard, immovable. Rigor mortis. The mortal frame, the material body becomes stiff as a board. Hey, check this. I think this guy's alive. No, I think he's dead. And they check. He's as stiff as a board. And they say, and then they abbreviate that. That's one slang, stiff as a board. Then even more, he's stiff. So this is what happens in old age. You become very stiff. Become very hard. The body becomes very fragile and hard, and so does the mind, and so does the heart. Old people are very stiff, very hard. Their heart becomes very hard. They become very unhappy and very heavy, if you know old people. But the older people get, the stiffer they get, the harder they get, and finally they become totally bored hard. They die and become rigor mortis. They become stiff as a board. But before that, there's different degrees of stiffness. 30%, 40%, 60%, finally 100% stiff as a board, dead, cold, dead, stone dead. But before that, but also the mind is cold, stone dead, the heart is cold, stone dead. Old people suffer like anything. There's no happiness, there's no joy, there's no lightheartedness, heavy-heartedness. Oh, it's like this, oh, it's like that. They always complain. Old people always complain. Hey, why are you doing like this? Why? Very heavy. And so everything becomes stiff. Heart, mind, emotions, hard, heavy. So this loha. Iron. Black. And why it's stiff? Because of lust, greed, anger, envy, illusion. Makes one hard, black, cold. But a spiritualist, his heart becomes golden. Becomes pure, shines. Because his heart is, when he comes to Guru, when he comes to Krishna, his heart is iron. You can say lead, but let's say iron. And then he receives the holy name and Guru Kripa, which are like Sparshamani. And his black heart turns to a golden heart. Because Sparshamani turns iron into gold. Then when these things go out of the heart, when greed goes out of the heart, and anger and lust and envy, you become lighthearted. You become happy, joyful, prasanatma. Prasanatma. The Atma becomes prasana. Pasand, they say pasand. And pasand in Hindi, pasand. 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 Joyful, happy. So Haridas Thakur, he's saying that, Lord Chaitanya, what's happening? I'm mouthing the names, but I'm too unfortunate to experience the touchstone qualities of the holy name. O Lord Chaitanya, I beg you to please appear as the holy name and dance on my tongue. I fall at your lotus feet and pray. If you like, you can keep me in this material world or place me in the spiritual sky. Whatever you desire, you are free to fulfill. But please let me taste the divine nectar of Krishna's holy name. You have descended amongst the conditioned souls to distribute the holy name. So kindly consider me. Who am I? I have no adhikar to ask for such a boon, but who am I? I'm an insignificant jiva, but I'm asking, please consider me to be a recipient of your mercy. I am a fallen soul, and you are the savior of the fallen, Patita Pavan. Gauranga Mahaprabhu. Let this be our eternal relationship. I'm the fallen one, and you're the liberated one. So you, I'm down, and you're up. So pick me up. That'll be our relationship. O Savior, on the strength of this relationship, that you are the liberator of the fallen, you are the lifter of the fallen, and I'm qualified, I'm really qualified. You can't find a more qualified person than me, a more fallen person than me, so please, show your mercy here. I'm begging from you the nectar of the holy name. This is in Harinam Chintamani, so Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he's speaking through the mouth, or let's say, Thakur Haridas, Namacharya Haridas Thakur is speaking here, but he's speaking on behalf of us, because certainly he's not an insignificant jiva, he's a very significant jiva. He's Lord Brahma, and he's Prahlad Maharaj, and he's also Haridas Thakur, who's the eternal associate of Gauranga. So he's a very significant jiva, but for the benefit of us, he's giving this beautiful prayer. So this prayer will be very good for us to recite. And that's why it's given here, that this is what Bhaktivinoda Thakur is explaining Harinam Chintamani when he's talking about this offense of considering the chanting the holy name to be one of the auspicious ritualist activities mentioned in the Karma Kanda activities as fruitive activities. In other words, equating chanting with some punya. Because chanting is divya, it's transcendental, it's bhakti. Bhakti is transcendental. It's not in this world. It's not produced in this world. It's not from this world. It's from the hearts of the eternal associates. So, is there any comments on this eighth offense? Any questions? Go on to the ninth offense. The ninth offense. To instruct faithless in the glories of Nam. Or what do we say? What do we say in the morning? To instruct the faithless person about the glories of the holy name? Is that what we say? Anyone say the ten offenses? No. You may think it's funny, but of course you're all chanting Shuddha Nam, so I don't mean to instruct any of you because you're all on the most highest level of devotion. But for my own benefit, at least I will say these words because I'm just beginning. But for those of us that are beginning, and not like all of you who are already liberated, but the acharyas tell us that every day before we begin to chant the holy name, there are certain, it's called sadhana krama, there's steps that we follow before we grab our beads and Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. So one thing is that we pray to our Gurudev for his mercy. And we pray to Haridas Thakur. Then we pray to the Pancha Tattva. Then we pray to Sri Nam Prabhu. Then we pray to the six Goswamis. Then we recite the Shikshastakam. These are everyday activities. And then we recite the ten offenses and pray to Sri Nam Prabhu that he'll help us to avoid committing these ten offenses and bless us with the mercy, or bless us with Shuddha Nam, that he will reveal his pure aspect in our mind and heart, and that someday we can chant the pure holy name. These are the daily activities of the person chanting the holy name. For us, we neophyte, beginners, not for all of you, because you don't need to do those things. Right? Some of you? So if there are any beginners out there listening to these tapes, then they can take note on what we just said and try to implement these daily activities in their before they chant. Because this is what the Mahajans tell us, and this is what the Shastras also tell us. This is the way, the krama, the method, the steps that one takes. And these are the basic principles, and the details may vary from one acharya to another. One acharya might say, you recite, as far as one aspect of the principle that we mention one principle to pray to the Pancha Tattva. So that's the principle. Now the detail may express itself in a various way according to the acharya. So one acharya may give initiation, say, now On your mala, you chant four rounds of Panchatattva mantra before you begin your chanting of Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Another acharya might say you chant one round of Panchatattva mantra. Another acharya might say you chant one time, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasani Gaur Bhaktarinda. And then you chant 16 rounds. Or you chant one time Panchatattva mantra between each round. These are called details. But the principle is that you are advised to pray to the Panchatattva every day before chanting. So this is the point. So this ninth offense is an offense to individually, that means take someone aside and say, do you know what this holy name is? And you tell them. To individually instruct a faithless person or one who is not interested in hearing the glories of Nam. Such a person will respond in a disrespectful way and commit unlimited offenses to the holy name. Without sufficient faith, one cannot acquire attraction nor taste for chanting the holy name. However, there is no injunction or prohibition against loud public sankirtan, which gradually acts to create belief in the faithless. So in one case, we're chanting the holy name and going out in the public, in the streets and everywhere, broadcasting widely sankirtan of the holy name, Nam Sankirtan. This is a yajna for Kali Yuga. But we're not individually telling someone, oh, sir, do you know about the glories of the holy name? Let me tell you. What is this? I have no interest in that. Why are you telling me this? But that's offense. Now, someone, you may go every day on the Harinam party, and you're chanting, going down the streets, and the person in the shop, he's hearing all the time, what is this, Hare Krishna? He doesn't want to hear this chanting. And maybe even throws stones at you, or gives you some different mudras. Different mudras he may show to you to show his appreciation of your chanting, if you know what I mean. Mudras means movements of the hands, you know, like this, or, you know, you can figure out what they are. And this way give you various blessings, you know, as with the hand you can give blessings like this, or like, there's different ways to give blessings. So that may go on for some time, because usually they go on Harinam in the same place every Friday night, every Saturday night, to Hollywood Boulevard or Westwater. I know when I was in L.A., every Friday night we went to China. Where did we go? I don't remember. Hollywood Boulevard, where all the tourists are, movie stars, whatever. Every Saturday we went to University of California, Los Angeles, UCLA, in Westwood, to purify the intellectual class, the intelligentsia, the logicians and Sanskrit scholars of the time, and they were very interactive, to say the least. They would sometimes offer abhishek to us out of appreciation. They would bathe us with panchamrit, which means one bottle of whiskey and one bottle of beer and over your head. You know, it's very nice. Nice abhishek. It's called tamagun abhishek. Just to show their appreciation for our kirtan. So those are very fond memories that are there. So this is, of course, these people may be very faithless and very much offensive, but there's no offense on our part to go and perform Nam Sankirtan. That's what Nitai and Haridas were performing Nam Sankirtan. And they went to Jagai Mata. Hey, shut up. We didn't know about you guys. Get off from here. Hey, stop that. Stop that kirtan. You don't want to throw this party. So they said, these, and then Nittai said, oh, Haridas, they're really out of it. They really need some faith. They need a faith injection. So let's chant louder. Hey, I told you. Madai threw a pot at Nittai. So this happens. So they're throwing pots of wine at Nittai. God, Balaram. So what to speak of Nittai's servants or aspiring servants if they get Abhishek with a bottle of beer? Then that's like nothing. We got off easy. It didn't crack my head with a bottle. It was mercy of Nittai. Because if they did that, I'd probably go home crying and never come back again. So Nittai was merciful. All we got was Abhishek from the wine pot. Well, Nittai got cracked in the head with the wine pot. So this is what we should understand, because sometimes people are confused. The general public must be made to give up their sinful ways and adopt firm faith. Shraddha, or faith, means to have complete conviction. What does it mean, shraddha, or faith? It means, I mean, you could say, of course, it's a dynamic principle. Shraddha is not a static principle. Of course, it's dynamic, and ultimately it becomes ecstatic, because as shraddha grows and develops in its own dynamism, it manifests its most ecstatic form as prema. Because prema is simply ecstatic shraddha, faith mixed with ecstasy, which begins to manifest at the level of bhava. We experience sattvic bhava, sattvic vikaras, transformations of ecstasy in bhava, which is a very high and full development of the dynamic expression of shraddha. And then when faith reaches its maturation or its zenith, then it manifests its beauty as prema, which is ecstatic. Ecstasies are experienced there. So, this is one level, to have complete conviction that chanting Sri Krishna's name will automatically fulfill all duties and complete all pious acts. One who has developed firm faith in the glories and potency of Nam will voluntarily approach a bona fide spiritual master for initiation. So that's why Prabhupada always encouraged everyone, just chant Hare Krishna. And that Krishna will do the rest. You're faithless, then throw stones at the kirtan party, but listen. If you're faithless, throw a pot at Nittai, but listen to his kirtan. It will have its effect. You have to express your faithlessness. That's your sanskara. You're a demon. You have the demoniac sanskaras in your chitta. So they have to be expressed with your words, with your actions. They must express themselves. The impressions must be expressed. They're your lakshana, your characteristic. But at the same time, the holy name, the medicine's going in your ears. And that will create bhakti sanskaras, an inclination to, and faith to serve Krishna. So the rectification, if someone has been an offender to the holy name by telling the glories of the holy name or explaining the glories of the holy name to someone, an offensive person. Because Krishna is telling himself in Gita that there are some prerequisites before we give shiksha. Because shiksha means teaching, teaching means preaching, preaching, shiksha, teaching, it's all one activity. So the pracharaks, the devotees in a preaching movement like ISKCON, they have to teach someone. But there must be some prerequisite for the student. What is the prerequisite? The prerequisite is faith. Faith and inquiry. So that's what Krishna says in Gita. Tavidi pranipatena, pariprashnena sevya, upadekshanti te gyanam, gyaninas tatvadarshana. He said, this is the prerequisite of the student. This is the prerequisite of the person you preach to. They must be approaching you with humility. They must be inquiring from you. And then you give upadesh, you give upadeksh, you give instruction. This is chapter 4 of Bhagavad Gita, verse 34. He's talking about a teacher. The teacher, he has to be a jnani. He must have a bhakti jnan. He must have bhakti jnan, knowledge of Krishna. So the darshan means philosophy. Tattva darshan. He must know the philosophy, understand the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. Kiva virpa kivanasi sutra kenanai. Say Krishna tattva veda, say guru hai. Krishna tattva. Say guru hai. He has to know. This is tattva. Krishna tattva. Tattva darshan means to know the Krishna tattva, to know the truth. Ishvara tattva, kala tattva. to know Bhagavad Gita. If you know Bhagavad Gita, you know Panchatattva. You heard of Panchatattva? Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasi Gaur Bhakti Vrinda. Panchatattva was predicted in the battlefield of Kurukshetra because Krishna spoke to Panchatattva. Right? What is the Panchatattva? It's spoken in Gita. You heard of Bhagavad Gita? Yes?
Time.
Kala Tattva. Ishvara Tattva. You heard these things? No.
Yeah.
Kala Tattva, Ishvara Tattva, Jiva Tattva, Karma Tattva, and Prakriti Tattva. There's a book called Bhagavad Gita that describes five Panchatattvas, five subjects. Yes? No.
Yes.
So in the it describes in fourth chapter, a chapter about knowledge, fourth chapter, transcendental knowledge. So a spiritual teacher, a pracharak, he is a giver of transcendental knowledge. So there must be some prerequisite for the student. The student is the guy you're preaching to, or the lady. They're the student, and you're the teacher. So they must be pranipatena. Right? Tadvidi pranipatena. Pariprashnena. They can ask so many questions. But pranipatena, they must be humble. And then they ask the question. And then when they have the prerequisite of humility, and they're approaching you and asking, I've been hearing this holy name for so long, I thought it was a bunch of baloney, a bunch of garbage, BS, and I didn't know what it was, and you guys were brainwashed. But after so many months, you're going by my sura. You go down this way, then you go that way. And you go this way, Hare Krishna, and you go that way. And then sometimes you go like this, and I've been watching you for months. Now I'm curious. I'm really, please come in my store, sit down. Would you like some water? Here, you do some water. So then he's doing seva, right? Pranipatena. He's becoming humble. And he says, Tabini Pranipatena, Parimashin. Seva. He's doing seva. He's showing humility in his words and his action. Please sit down. He's doing seva, he's offering you asan, and he's offering you water, and he's speaking sweetly. He just said, before, he was the demoniac store owner. He said, hey, you guys, I'll call the cops, what's that? This is personal experience, and I have thousands of experiences like this. How the sankirtan, public sankirtan, purifies the demons, so that they become properly qualified students to inquire, and then you make no offense when you tell them about the glorious holy name. You understand? But if you just grab anybody, hey, and then you make the offense of the holy name. Because he's not asking. He didn't ask you, but tell him. And he said, you know about holy name is really good. Hey, you jerk, get out of here. Then you made the offense, ninth offense. Because you're not following the proper standard. Holy name is a great gift, it's a great treasure. You don't just cast pearls before a swine, as the Bible said. Don't cast your pearls before the swine. Swine means pig. Pig, sewer, hog. Because they just think it's a white stone. I'll just crush it up into dust. Maybe some Ayurvedic pig told them that pearls are good for digestion. Good for their mind, so they think it's a medicine. Ayurvedic doctor. Ayurvedic pig doctor. Oh, look at those pearls. Yeah, my mind's a little crazy. I should eat these. Because moti is supposed to be good for the mind, right? Chandra's gem, pearl. So this is the ninth offense. So this offense can be nullified by taking shelter of Srinam and chanting with heartfelt repentance. Simple rectification. But we have to be intelligent, as always, in our execution of bhakti. In our zeal to preach and spread the glories of the holy name, we must temper our zeal with intelligent guidance received from Shastra and Guru and Sadhu. We should be enthusiastic to preach everywhere. Go out, everyone, tell Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Yeah, go everyone, do kirtan. So then they inquire humbly and they do seva. And then you can give upadesh. You can give upadesh. Upadesh amrit. You can give the nectar of instructions about the holy name, glories, nam rup gun lila. Further adhikar, further qualification. Is there any comment, questions on this point?
You are preaching the holy name like this. Is it an offense that you are preaching to those who are not interested?
I think you have to understand that this concept of mahima, which means kirti, nam kirti, or nam mahima, which means that kirti means the glories or the greatness of the holy name. Mahima means the greatness, kirti means the fame. That it has different levels. Because it's quite common practice, at least in Western countries, which we have also taken part in, to engage in a Harinam Sankirtan in some public place, a park or whatever, somewhere where you can collect a audience, some what we call spectators, like Tompkins Square Park, which Prabhupada did. So you go to some park and you chant, and it's quite a scene for most people in the West. So you gather a bunch of what they call spectators, onlookers, gawkers, gawking, they're gawking, looking. What's going on? What are they doing? What are they doing? Basically, their expression on their face is, who the hell are you? And what are you doing? Because they haven't the slightest idea of many countries. So they Harinam goes on for some time so they can get purified. They stay and they hear the Harinam. So in one sense, the way we would do it, I don't know other countries, but we would see a group coming. So as soon as the group gathered, we wouldn't say, okay, stop. As soon as the group gathered, we would continue to chant the Harinam, Sankirtan. And we would continue and try to be more enthusiastic than when no one's there, because we're performing. Performing. Why are we performing? Because we want to attract people to Krishna. So if we're not happy, we pretend to be happy. And even the Sankirtan leaders, hey, come on, everyone's here now. Now pretend you're happy. Smile, raise your arms, dance around, jump around, look enthusiastic. Oh, okay. And you dance around, everyone says, oh, they're dancing around, they're happy, they're enthusiastic. That's a good thing. They're having a good time over here. It's interesting, it's attractive, I'm curious. But a lot of times, the devotees are spontaneously into it. And you don't have to tell them to jump and dance, and they're going crazy. And people really like, the more crazy you go, and the more happy you look, the more people, the bigger the crowd you get. If you're all singing, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. And everybody walks by, well, they look really enthusiastic. They look like they're really into it. And they're so into it, no sense for me to stop and disturb them, because they're so into it. And there's no sense for me to be curious and be attracted, because there's not a damn thing here to be attracted to. Look, these look like the saddest group of people I've ever seen. I feel sorry for these guys. They're just saying, Hare Krishna, Krishna. They're looking down. And then they walk by and they feel, boy, I feel sorry for those poor people. They lost their hair. They lost all their hair and they fell in a bottle and they fell in a tank of orange paint, and they're all orange and they now have no hair, and even their shoes turned orange. And, oh, this very sad group of poor people. You know, and they go on. But generally, the kirtans are a little bit more attractive and enthusiastic than that. And then big crowd gathers, 50 people, 100 people, 200 people, all around, back, front, looking up. So then we pick up the tempo, increase the drum beats, start dancing more. And then people, the eyes open up and they start listening. So what's happening is that they are submitting themselves. They're submitting themselves. Pranipatena. Pranipatena means they're giving their time. They stop. They're waiting there, standing there for 5 minutes, 10 minutes, listening to the Harinam. And by giving that 10 minutes, by that submission, so they're displaying one of the prerequisites to get preached to. Because the main prerequisite is submission. They approach you submissively. So they're approaching us. We're standing there. They're approaching us and they're stopping and they're listening. That's submission, pranipatena. And their faces are inquiring. Their faces are inquiring. You don't have to speak with, what are you doing? You can speak with your eyes and face so much. So then the second prerequisite is pariprashna. They're asking a question. So they're doing seva by giving their ears. They're doing seva by giving their time. They're doing seva by standing respectfully and not throwing beer cans, not throwing stones, and not giving us nice mudras. They're just innocently listening. So they're showing the prerequisites of someone you can preach to. You follow? Their face is saying, "What are you doing? What's it all about?" So after you purify them even more by another 10 minutes of kirtan, then you stop. And you say, and you take the microphone, because we've done this ourselves hundreds of times. So you're probably wondering what we're doing, or who we are. And they go, or if they're Indian, they go, and say, we're are the Hare Krishna people. We are a spiritual organization, and blah, 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 you know, all this stuff. And what we're doing, this is a public display of Harinam Sankirtan. We are glorifying the names of God in public. So now we will tell them something about the glories of the holy name. So they may be faithful, they may be faithless, but they've already shown some faith. So they have the preliminary, they have the minimal qualification, because there's some submission, there's some seva, there's some interest, and they're non-offensive, at least in their posture at this moment. And we will tell them the minimal glories of the Holy Name. We will simply tell them what we are doing. We're not telling about there's no difference in Nam-Rupa. No, we're not going to get into the details and fine points of the Holy Name. We're just saying, we're answering the basic question. We're glorifying the names of the Lord. Everywhere in every religious tradition, God has different names like Yahweh, Jehovah, this Adonai, Yahweh, Jehovah. I mean, this tradition comes from India. They call Krishna. Krishna is the name for God, means that he's very attractive, because everyone's heard of God. So we ask you all, if you will please join us. See, we have this sign here. This mantra is written on this sign. You can repeat after me. Listen. Hare, Hare. See, it's not so hard. This is very hard. Now, listen. Krishna. Can you say Krishna? Krishna. Hare. And like this. And then the people, they say now the whole mantra. And then pretty soon these 50 people are chanting Hare Krishna with the Sankirtan party. Now, is that offensive or not? It's not offensive. And this basic standard is done all over around the world, I suppose. I've never been to Russia. Do you do that in Russia? You do that? Same thing. Because you're probably trained by the American gurus and Sankirtan, who, you know, usually it's... Because that's what we did, and that's what they did when Prabhupada was here. And they told Prabhupada... And that's what Prabhupada did himself in Thompson Square Park. He stopped and said, "This is." So was Prabhupada making an offense? No. So the mechanics of it all, the chemistry of it, how it all works, I explain in very minute detail how... This gathering of people before the Sankirtan party is also meeting the prerequisites of someone who's eligible to be preached to in a minimal way, by which you will avoid the offense. The ninth offense will be avoided, so your purity of chanting will be protected individually. At the same time, the people will be promoted and increase their faith in Krishna. You have any questions? Yeah.
I have a doubt in my mind.
So?
What you just spoke was the requirements for to preach to. But in a group, if one or two are faithless,
they won't stay.
And if they, well, either they won't stay or they will try to disturb whatever.
No, then if you see that, then you don't. Then you, when those kind of demons come, you increase the chanting and you pray to Lord Nrisingadeva. That's obvious. He's a demon, so then you say, "Oh, we're not going to tell you anything. We're not, you know, this guy's spoiling the party, so we're not going to tell you what we're up to." And if it's big demonic action, we just take off. We go somewhere else. We don't tell anything more. But generally, our experience, at least I'm from America, and I was preaching in America for 30, so many years. And my experience was the people that because the demons they say, "Hey, wait a minute, everybody's into it. You know, he's a demon. He wants to do some mischief." But he says, "Wait a minute. Hare Krishna, looks like the Hare Krishnas are winning today. Everyone's really curious." And if they start acting up, the audience itself will say, "Hey, get out of here." What I've seen, you have no experience with Harinam, nothing. I have like thousands of Harinam parties. And this is my experience. There's some guy starts like trying to, you know, stir up some action. One of those faithful people listening, "Hey, shut up. The guy's trying to say something." You know, and they'll knock him out. We don't have to do anything. And then they'll get rid of him, and they say, "Hey, tell us some more."
So, in the campus,
yeah.
They ask all kinds of questions. Sometimes about the Holy Name, why do you?
Yeah, yeah. So, he's submissively asking questions. So, then.
I'm trying to get to a small group of students, and if one or two of them are baselessly arguing, should we stop?
Yes. Yeah.
You
stop. You stop. Definitely stop. Because no one's going to hear. Everyone's attention is going to go to this jerk. You go somewhere else. So, okay. Well, look, it was nice talking to you. If you want to hear more, here's my card. Here's my address. Here's my email. You can contact me. But the atmosphere is not good now. Or you visit the temple. Or if you want to talk privately, you and I can just go away. Hey, you know, you leave the scene. You take him with you. Take the good guy with you somewhere. Or you contact him later and you pack up your wares and go on. But you don't continue. These kind of, when you find this kind of unfavorable circumstance, then you then you avoid, you help those people avoid making offenses by moving out. No, Krishna gives the intelligence usually how to, what to do.